And the falling away continues globally. It's pretty incredible what's going on. But there's something that the Spirit wants us to really understand, because the enemy is at full force and full blown. Hallelujah. Go to Matthew 25, please. And he does a disruption, first of all, by distraction. Everyone say it with me. Disruption comes by distraction. So we've got to be careful of what we're being distracted with. Amen? Now, the first thing that the enemy always wants to do is bring us to ourselves. When distraction comes, it's to cause a misplacement. And it's the misplacement of fear. And we're going to talk about fear today. We've talked about fear before. But there's multiple levels of fear in. There is the fear of the Lord and there's the fear of man. And people can become arrested through this emotional fear. You know, we're either pleasing God or pleasing man. And we want to stay in that place of pleasing God, because when we please God, things fall into place in the physical with man. So traumas, disasters, all kinds of things put people into an area of, I need to do something. And when we call it falling, I mean, and don't get me wrong, there is that, there's the good part of fear, amen? And in that part of fear, it gets your attention. I mean, if your car starts on fire, you become fearful. But in that fear, you discern. All of a sudden, all your senses come right to the top. What do I have to do? I have to get out of here? Does everybody understand that? This is not the fear of man. This puts us in a state where God wants us to live and survive and come through so we can live the full course of life. And in this, all of a sudden, all your senses come to the top. You can become very sensitive and discerning. And in this, you know certain things. You got to unlock the door. And if it doesn't lock, you need to break the door. In other words, you want to get out of the place where it's burning, because it's dangerous for you. Amen? Now, we know that Shadrach and Abednego and the other guy, we know they were put in the fire. Amen? But they were put in the fire to fear dying when God had promised them that they wouldn't die. They were put in the fire for an unjust cause, to worship another god. So if they refused to worship another deity, they were put in the fire. But their trust was in the Lord. The fire didn't touch them. That's a reverence to God. That's a fear to God. Knowing that it doesn't matter what happens to my life, I'm in your hands. But misplaced fear can cause a lot of problems. And Matthew 25 in verse 1. Is everybody okay? Verse 1, let's speak it together. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Now remember, the word foolish has a word called fool. Amen. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Well, that's pretty stupid. That's not even foolish. That's stupid. You're going to go out with a lantern with no oil. Even the bugs are going to attack you. But the wise took oil in their lamps and their vessels with their lamps. I like how it says that the wives took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Does everybody get it? But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. You go rather to those who sell and buy for yourself." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. It always reminds me of the ark with Noah. The door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Now, that's powerful because we don't know the perfect day he's coming. Amen? But we do know the time and season he's coming. And so in this, we see that there's the foolish and the wise. They became foolish to the compromise of their daily routine. And they compromised the fear of the Lord, which is reverence, honor, and respect. And we've talked about this before. Their emotional fear and worldly lust. So their fear caused them to emotionally, and the emotional fear and worldly lust caused them to lose more than just their inward desire to please God, but their fear of God. Because maintaining routine says, "I want to please you." Amen? By maintaining that routine, we get the presence of God. That presence of God brings the fear of God. See, the fear of God is taught. And only the Holy Spirit can teach you the fear of the Lord. Does everybody else understand that? Let's go to Deuteronomy 13. So, because they misplaced fear, in other words, they fell into the fear of man, the loss of materialism and all the other stuff, that it compromised the fear of the Lord. Deuteronomy 13. Hallelujah. In verses 1 through 5, and this is what the Lord gave Moses to tell the Israelites. He said, "If there arises among you a prophet or dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass of which he spoke to you, saying, 'Let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them,' you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or to that dreamer of dreams." Now, even if it comes to pass, does everybody get it? Because there's a lot of false prophets out there backed by familiar spirits. And they will prophesy and say things that come to pass. And the purpose of that is to mislead individuals and misplace the fear of God. Oh, yes. "You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or the dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you." He's what? Testing you. "Whether you love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him, reverence him, respect him, honor him, and keep his commandments and obey his voice. You shall serve him and hold fast to him." Fear him. And again, we've talked about this before. Satan's greatest weapon is what? Deception, and his power is fear. So there's power in fear, isn't there? The devil comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy by misplacing the fear of the Lord with the fear of man. Fear exists in the spiritual and physical realms of reality. It is the basic driver of behavior. It can motivate or paralyze. It can do what? Motivate or paralyze. It can equip or incapacitate. And what can it equip or incapacitate? A way of a person thinks. The way a person thinks in their body and in their soul. People become sick because of fear. They become sick because of anxiousness. They become sick because of oppression. Fear is involved in all of our daily reality. It's either good fear or bad fear. Reverence, honor, or respect to God or His creative purpose. Again, fear misplaced produces devastation. It produces not only devastation, but discouragement. And defeat. This is where people become oppressed and suicidal. Rightly placed fear gives rise to encouragement, courage, honor, and blessings. The fear of the Lord is the only fertile soil in which a warrior spirit must maintain and spring forth. We are called to be warriors. You were not rescued and came to this house to be a wimp. Amen? That's why many are called and few are chosen. I want to say this again. Fear misplaced produces devastation, discouragement, and defeat. Rightly placed fear gives rise to courage, honor, and blessing. The fear of the Lord is the only fertile soil in which the warrior spirit must maintain and spring forth. The fear of the Lord. In Hebrews 12, verse 1, you know, I've been hearing testimonies of prayers being answered. And it's God who's doing it, not us. Amen? It's God who's visiting people. He's visiting individuals now in dreams and visions like crazy. So He gets the glory. So that you and I can't say, well, we rescued that person because we didn't rescue anyone. Amen? It is the Lord God Almighty. And again, the first thing that begins to change an individual's heart from the presence of God is the fear of the Lord. There's a reverence. It's not horror or terror or torment. It's reverence. And when we lose that reverence and drift from the reverence of the Lord, we begin to misplace that fear. We begin to compromise it. And we begin to fear man. We begin to fear the things of the world. Now, there's an honor and respect in the area where we respect things. Amen? In other words, if you don't do your job right, you can lose your job. There should be a respect to that. That's why you do it. The Bible talks about respecting your elders, your mothers and your mother and father and so forth, and those who labor over you and watch over you. Respect them. That's called reverence them. Amen? But sometimes that's displaced, where individuals fall in a place where they don't respect those who oversee them. They misplace that. You know, many times we compromise that place and forget where we came from, what we had to go through in our lives to get to where we were. We begin to compromise the reverence and fear of the Lord, and begin to, it becomes misplaced in the fear of what I've lost, what I need to have. I want to be somebody. I don't want to just be a believer. Does everybody understand that? I need to build my business. I need to do this. I need to, That's a compromise. That's a misplacement of the fear of the Lord. And it brings what? Disaster. It opens the door for the enemy to come and steal, kill, and destroy. Look at this world has been in. What's it been motivated by? Fear. Misplaced fear. That's why people are running to doctors and getting in because of their fears. If somebody gets a cold, the first thing they say, I got COVID. Or I've got this. Or the enemy starts to promote certain things. You know, the Bible says a joyful heart is good medicine. But as soon as something happens, we have the tendency to worse first think, you know. Oh, man, I must have this. I must have that. Don't go to Google. Google lies. Tells you everything that you have. Oh, man, you got this. You got it. I looked it up. I've seen it. I know I got it. Stop it. Wrong. Hallelujah. Hebrews 12. One, let's speak it together. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a call to witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, for who the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. How many of y'all know shame is associated with fear? For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons and daughters. My sons and daughters, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son or daughter whom he receives. If you endure the chastening, this is where many people don't fight, they flight. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them what? Respect. By what? Fear, reverence, honor. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chasten us as seemed best to them. But he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his what? Holiness. His character. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been what? Who've been what? Trained by it. Wow. I want you to understand that this chastening associated with endurance is a part of the fear of the Lord. We are trained by it. We're what? Trained by it. Amen? Endurance is discipline. Without discipline, you cannot endure. That's what a disciple is. That's where the word is. Disciple. Discipline. Amen? Discipline. Endurance is discipline, and as warriors, we need to be disciplined. No compromise. No complacency. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence in the Lord, which has great reward. Which has what? Great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you've completed your assignment, you may receive the promise, the blessing. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now, the just live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but to those who believe into the saving of the soul. We are in need of endurance with discipline. Amen? You know, individuals that become professionals, professional sports players, professional musicians, and so forth, they become qualified because of their endurance to practice. They are disciplined to practice. Amen? When they practice, practice makes what? Perfect. When I was a young boy, a couple weeks ago, until I just had this last birthday, anyways, I used to play sports. I love sports. I was brought up in sports. During the transitional season where I'd be on the baseball team playing baseball, I'd be catching. Right from baseball, I'd be going to football practice. But it made me a good sports player. And I was offered multiple opportunities. Unfortunately, I left the sports scene and got into the drug scene, and it ruined my life, as many others did. And I became very disciplined in the drug scene, too. But anyways. 1 Samuel 17, in verse 4. Yet a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. In other words, it was heavy. And he had bronze armor on his legs and bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and a shield bearer went before him. Then he stood and he cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Wow. Now, when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they freaked out, man. They were dismayed and greatly what? Feared, because they heard the words from this Philistine. Go to verse 38. So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I can't walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. In other words, you can't wear somebody else's armor. Amen? You must dress, be dressed by yourself. Then he took his staff in his hand And he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David. Then the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog?" Boy, he confessed he was demonized, didn't he? "That you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." I can imagine the whole army of Israel beginning to back up. Some of them were starting to pack up. They're thinking, man, this dude's going to get eaten alive by this giant. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." That might have stopped some of them from packing up when they heard that. Whoa, this dude's got some, you know, spunk. In verse 26, he said, "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I'll strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with the sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." Now that is so powerful. You know what? He had to have the presence of God. He carried the fear of the Lord. But the enemy was trying to displace David's fear in man. If he could do that, he would win. Think about how many times our fear has been displaced and we lost the battle. So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead. Well, that's where your brain's at. That's where the storage is of all memory and thoughts. And David struck, in other words, God backed David's words by hitting him right in the thought. So that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David didn't need a sword or a spear, didn't even need to fight him, nothing. Didn't jump on his head and beat him or anything to that degree. He threw a stone. Stone. The word of God. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore, David ran and took over the Philistine and stood over the Philistine, took his own sword and drew it out of a sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they booked. They fled. Like I said, half of them were already, they're thinking, man, you know, whatever. But, you know, then this is the Israelite army's unpacked. And the Philistine armies packed. Now when the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance of the valley and to the gates of Ekron, and the wounded of the Philistines fell along the road to Sharon, even as far as Gath and Ekron. Again, there is war of fear right now. We are in a war of fear. The enemy is trying to bring fear and misplace the fear of the Lord to the fear of man, to the fear of even the courts and judges, to the fear of loss, to the fear of worldliness, to its fears and the loss of it. The war of fear. They were terrified. Why? Because the words of fear. They were words of fear, but they were corrupt words of fear. But David released the words of reverence to God. It was the fear of God's word that was released. Amen? And penetrated the mind of the Philistine and brought him down. In Psalm 34, verse 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want or no what? Lack. To those who fear him, reverence him, honor him, respect him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who fear the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life, who loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and what? Pursue it. The fear of God comes from the presence of God and is taught to us by the Holy Spirit. Psalm 25 and verse 12. Who is a man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the ways he should choose. In other words, he's going to give him direction. He himself shall dwell in prosperity. Woo. And his descendants shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. Those are revelations. Those are secrets. Those are mysteries. And he will show them his covenant. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Whoa, yeah. Reverence. The God, honor, respect, fear of the Lord brings discernment, brings direction, brings prosperity. With release of revelation knowledge of God. In Psalm 33. That's why the Bible tells us that in the last days there'll be rumors. Rumors of what? Wars, famines, earthquakes, climate disasters. All kinds of things, chaos. And all of this is to cause a misplacement of fear. So we begin to fear those things. We begin to focus those things and lose sight and compromise the fear of the Lord. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who what? Fear him. On those who hope in his mercy. To deliver their soul from what? Death. And to keep them alive in what? Famine. Wow. That's powerful. The eye of the Lord, when we acknowledge him with respect and the fear, he will deliver us from death and famine. See, so many people lost the fear of the Lord. And again, I want to share that during this epidemic, the fear of God was misplaced. And many people, believers, allowed that misplacement of fear to come into their lives. And they began to run to the doctors to prevent sickness instead of knowing that if they had the reverence of fear, the true reverence of fear, none of this would come upon them. It didn't mean you might not get sick, but it means you wouldn't die. He just said he'd rescue you from death and famine. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. How do you stir yourself up? Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in tongues. Speak the word. Praise and worship. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I committed to him until that day. Wow. Misplaced fear can bring an arresting emotion and what we call fight or flight. You know, in this, we've got to be careful, because what the enemy likes to do is bring confusion and bitterness, offense, unforgiveness, and move a person into self-preservation by misplacement of fear. Again, many will flight and not fight. That's called the falling away. We're seeing it. 2 Timothy 4, in verse 1. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, is appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, release the word, decree the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. In other words, doctrines of demons will come in. And what are they promoting? Misplacement of fear. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your calling or your ministry. Doctrines of demons promoting the misplacing of true fear with the matrix fear and terror. They're replacing the true fear of God with the matrix fear and terror. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. What kind of fear is he talking about? Tormenting fear. Amen? Worldly fear. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Perfect love casts out worldly fear. Now, there's something important, because there's such a hyper-grace doctrine. It leads people to love their own specialness. They become expert builders of their own earthly kingdoms rather than God's kingdom. It doesn't mean God, again, there's a difference. They're taking what God is giving them and building their own kingdom instead of God's kingdom. In other words, they're not glorifying God in what they're building. Amen. The Bible says, unless the Lord builds a house, we what? Labor in vain. You know, when things are given by God, he's the one that maintains it. If God's not in it, then we maintain it. Now, it doesn't mean that he directs us to maintain things. He does. We're keeping our routine. We must maintain our relationship with him. But there's things that he gives us to maintain. One of the things he wants us to do is come out from among them. Be separate. Don't touch things that are unclean. Trust, rest, and wait. Don't lean on your own understanding. Submit to all things of the kingdom. his counsel, correction, and direction, so you can what? Resist the influence of the enemy. You know, you can always lead a horse to water, but he ain't going to always drink it. Hello? It's up to that person, not you. We're to be the examples. We're to tell the truth. We're to decree the truth. And we are not, we are to walk in the reverence and fear of God. Let me tell you, people know whether you fear God or not. They know whether you're walking in that reverence of God. They know. Or they know that if you're a compromiser. Hallelujah. James chapter 3 and verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly and sensual and what? Demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceful, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. The proudly wisdom from the demonic, from the earth, they proclaim that we are disciples without discipline. I'm going to say it again. There are those that carry the proudly wisdom of the world, proclaiming to be disciples of Jesus without discipline. That is impossible. It's impossible. What has happened? They've misplaced the fear of God. In 1 John chapter 2, in verse 3, you know, the Spirit is also always preparing us for things that come in the attacks of the enemy. In verse 3, now this we know, that we know him if we keep his what? Commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to what? Hate evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Is disobedience evil? Is compromise evil? Pride and arrogance in the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. So is pride evil? Proverbs 1 and verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 19. Oh, it's good to hear the pages flying on a Sunday morning. Proverbs 19:23. Just write the scriptures down and go back and fill it in. Hallelujah. It says, the fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. He will not be visited with what? Evil. Whoa. Proverbs 14, 26 and 27. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. And I'm going to close at Luke chapter 9, 23. And he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is a man if he gains the whole world and is himself is destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. Shame, fear. It's misplaced fear. Amen. Don't let the enemy cause a misplacement of fear in your life. I think my wife has something to say. Donna.
Hallelujah. You know, the devil has a plan for a long time, the spirit of Antichrist. And in the earth, the spirit of man, Antichrist is manifested through these people that have tried to take control of the entire planet for a very long time. They're not in a hurry. They've had a long game. And we're seeing it all manifest now. If we'd have been paying attention, or the conspiracy theorists that have been paying attention, was planned and patented a long time ago, before this ever happened. The plan to take over our economy was planned a long time ago, so that they can have digital currency and we can be under one world government. So the way, what guy's talking about is to control us with fear. And the whole thing is to see how well they can control you. Well, some people have just learned to be controlled, but a lot of people have woken up. They try to scare the church by saying, if you preach thus and thus, anything that's the truth or political, we're going to take your 501c3 away. You haven't noticed that changing what we preach. What I want to tell you is there's still a plan, right? And things are getting rocky for the other side. They have been challenged in ways, they are coming down in ways that a lot of people don't know about and can't see. Things are about to get a whole lot worse, what we can see. The economy, food availability, all kinds of stuff. One thing that they've had planned for a very, very long time, it's a CIA plan, just like all of this other stuff, okay? Our CIA is evil globalist, is something called Project Bluebeam. You can look it up. It's kind of like their last trick, their trump card, so to speak. And that's why everything's coming out about aliens and UFOs and blah, blah, blah. They're starting to seed it into our consciousness so that we can accept it. Have you ever seen the technology that you can be sitting in an auditorium and there's dolphins swimming in there? There's whales swimming in there. You're getting splashed with the water and
holograms.
Jumping. Holograms, yeah. So it appears very real. And that's what Project Bluebeam is. They've already tested it out. They have plans to show Jesus in the sky like he's coming back, so you chase after that. But the Bible says if they say that I'm here, don't go. They're going to do this whole UFO thing, And their purpose is to put us in such fear that we all scramble and that they can take us over, because it's like, okay, do anything, just protect us from the aliens. I'm putting this out on tape. I don't come up here and interrupt things and get in front of a camera. But the world needs to know this, because they're going to try this at some point. So when you see Jesus in the sky, or you see aliens invading and the news is telling you all kinds of stuff, just chill. God's got it, and it's not true. Amen? Amen. And people need to know this.
Amen. Don't fall. Don't misplace the fear of the Lord.
Amen.
That's the whole bottom line. Don't misplace the fear of the Lord. And, you know, God is warning us. And we're to spread what we learn. Because when people, you know what? It's really simple to say to someone, man, you're misplacing the fear of the Lord. That's all you need to say. But everything that you're seeing right now is to promote that. Amen? The falling away is big time. People are, how do you think people are going to receive the mark of the beast? They're going to fear the Lord. I mean, fear man and not the Lord. But to avoid the mark of the beast, you're going to fear the Lord. Amen? Praise God. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your reverence and who you are. And let what you have released into our spirit today come to remembrance as needed, so we don't forget anything, Lord. We thank you. We ask that you seal the word and bring glory to your name as we decree the true placement of the fear of the Lord in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Praise God.